Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed. Joining me today is Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hi, everyone.
And what you tell us about the book, because this was kind of your choice to read this one, wasn't it?
It was my choice, but I mean, I got the idea from you, I think. I don't know. I somehow stumbled across that book and I put it on Goodreads to read and stuff. And then I got this new library apps.
Yeah.
And that book was available in the library.
Yeah, this is a new library app, which you're talking about on an upcoming episode of Reading Envy with Jenny that we recorded
last weekend. Yes, you should listen to it, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so you can, with these library apps, you can say when that book becomes available. Because even though it's digital, only like three people can read a book at the same time.
It works the same way. They have one copy, and then you can kind of rent it for a month or so.
Or borrow it.
But or borrow it.
Most importantly, you can put a request in and then say, when I'm next in the queue, download it to my iPad straight away.
Yes, like... for example, for another book, I am now third in line or something.
Yeah. So which book's that?
Yoon Ha Lee.
Oh, like the third Nine Fox Gambit book.
Yes, exactly. Oh, okay. That one. And that is available. That they in my library, they do have, they don't own a copy, but you know, an ebook. They have one ebook.
So this is a book. This book that we're reading now is available. Yep. All Systems Red by Martha Wells.
Exactly. Oh, I haven't said it yet.
No, you haven't said it yet. I thought I might as well get it in within the first 5 minutes of the podcast or whatever it is.
That's a good one. Yes. So it was published on 2nd of May in 2017. Yep. So it's not new.
It's not new.
It's a recent outcome.
Yeah, I listened to the audiobook last year, I think. Well, of course, last year. It was either this year or last year because it came out in 2017.
Yeah.
Lots of people have recommended it to me, and normally I wouldn't spend an Audible credit on a novella, and I don't normally review novellas on this podcast generally because it's quite short. And, you know, when it comes down to Audible and you're like, I'm spending a credit, and this credit is kind of worth, like, you know, if you get the two books, it's kind of worth like 12 euros or something, or, you know, if you actually work it out.
20 sometimes.
Was that?
20 euros.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to buy the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where the price of the audiobook drops below the price that you would normally spend that credit on, you know, or how much you spent for the credit, and suddenly the book, just to buy it outright as an audiobook, it drops below that. But, you know, sometimes you've got so many credits left over, I'm just like, all right, let's just get it. And it was earlier this year. It must have been, because I was flying back from a... flying back from a trip in America, and I just finished a non-fiction book that we were just talking about today, the Checklist Manifesto, and I was like, oh, what's the other book that I have on here? Oh, there it is, The All Systems Red, and I started listening to it on the way to the airport, and before we took off, I'd already finished it, because it's only like 2.5 hours worth of audiobook.
Yeah, it's not long. Like, I had it as an ebook, and on the iPad mini, it was like 250 pages, so it wasn't that long, and currently I'm also reading Red Mars, and that's really... Like, it takes some effort to get through it, and so I thought, a quick read.
Yeah, and also you had to read it within the 2 weeks or something, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, like 21 days.
21 days, yeah. So you've got three weeks in the library app to read this book.
Yes, and I think it is possible to even renew the...
But you don't need it if it's just a novella, because you can finish it within like 3 days or whatever.
And it was exactly what I expected, it was exactly what I wanted, and it was a good
little break from Red Mars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also I've read it in English, but that wasn't a problem at all.
It's not high level writing, high level English kind of thing.
It was good.
It's so... you're already jumping to the conclusion of the podcast. It's good.
No, it was
a good reading experience, the experience of getting through it.
It wasn't like a thing where I had to ask you every second sentence, what does this word mean, Luke?
Yeah, what was the word that you asked me? It wasn't this book, it was the previous book when you had to say, not made redundant, what was it? I can't remember what it was, but there was this word where you're saying, what does it mean not to retire? What was the word? I can't remember.
Yeah, but that was pretty sure Peter Watt's book.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, that was it. What was the word where you... depreciate, that's it.
Yes.
So you've been depreciated, in other words, you've been retired from your position as the crew. But what does it even mean when there's nothing else except the starship that you're on, you're being depreciated. It means that you are being removed from the spaceship, you know, that kind of thing. So
you're being killed.
You're being killed. Yeah, yeah. It's euphemism, corporate euphemism.
Yeah.
Anyway, All Systems Red, Murderbot Diaries number one. It's the first book in a series of books. Well, not, it's the first novella in a series of novellas. All Systems Red came out 2017, and then The Artificial Condition came out in May 2018. There's another one coming out in August 2018 called Rogue Protocol. Exit Strategy, was it November? What does it say?
No, October.
October 2018. So yeah, there's another three books coming out this year.
And then there's an untitled Murderbot novel.
Yes.
That will be published in 2020.
It says here, Murderbot will return, making its full-length debut in a new novel. Okay, so Murderbot. What is the Murderbot Diaries, but the first book, which is the only one that we're talking about. It's called Book One on Goodreads, but it's a novella. So if we say book or whatever, a story, it's a story.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention. Yeah, I listened to it again today. Yeah. I was gonna download it and listen to it because I finished another book yesterday. The same book, the not the Raven Strassman, the Revenant Gun by Yoon Ha Lee.
Yeah.
Finished that one last night and then was like, oh, let me just download the audiobook. But then the internet wasn't well, the Wi-Fi wasn't working.
I restarted the router this morning.
So this morning I downloaded the audiobook and it's a 2.5 hour audiobook. And it turns out if you listen to that at 2x speed, which actually audible 2x speed isn't quite 2x speed, but it's like 1.5 or 1.7 whatever times speed. Yeah, you can get through it in a single day. And I just finished it outside playing an iPhone game while listening to it while Juliana was resting outside in the garden. So I was like, right, let's do the podcast. So Juliana finished this book at the weekend or 2 days ago, and I completed, started and finished it today as an audiobook. An audio novella, let me put it that way. So Murderbot is a corporate company assigned security detail to a research and it's not research. It's more of a they're doing research for corporate drilling mining interests or whatever or something.
I'm not
like
sure
that.
If it was. It's always the same. Like it is a company that rents out things,
yes,
like for excursions or like for expeditions.
Expeditions. Yes. Yeah. So the Murderbot, you have to do it to get insurance to do an expedition to an alien planet.
Yeah.
You have to have a security detail along, and for every 10 people, you have to have one security bot.
Exactly.
Security drone.
Unit, they're called sec units.
Oh yeah, sec units, yeah, you've got a security unit. And the security units are kind of half organic, half mechanical, but like in a mechanical, like cyborgs,
kind of
fused between biological and non-biological. And they have a tank that they sit, or what do they call it?
A cubicle.
A cubicle, yes. So they go into a cubicle, and that keeps them fed, and keeps them powered up, and also keeps them...
And can repair them.
Yeah, repair them, both the biological and the mechanical parts.
Yeah.
And they've got built-in weapons.
And they do have a face.
Well, this is the thing. It turns out that they are made out of cloned human DNA material.
Yeah.
So they have a face in the fact that nobody normally sees their face because it's covered up, but they still need to have a way to, I guess, breathe for their biological parts, and also there needs to be an interface for speaking and all, and it's their brain, because the idea being that robots, like completely mechanical robots, electronic robots, are too stupid because they don't have intuition and they can't recognize stuff so well. So in the same way that what was the book where they had the one where there was sort of like a human parts of a broken an old human being inside one, and then there's like a love story between the, what was that book that we let me just look it up.
I don't know.
Yeah, we just read it before. Like it was Hugh Annalie Nevitz or whatever, was it that one? I'll just look it up. Look it up. It'll come there. But the whole idea about having human...
Autonomous,
that was it, yes. Where is that one? Artemis, Annihilation. Oh, it must have been... Oh, Provenant. Oh, yeah, Annalie Nevitz. Nevitz, Autonomous, yes, which I gave 2 stars to. Anyway, similar kind of idea. Mechanical... fused with biological, using the image recognition and intuition stuff that comes from the human-style biological brain.
Yeah.
along with the power and kick-assness of the thing. Anyway, yes. An adventure on a planet. Not really, I don't think there needs to be so much to say about that because it's a very bland planet. Here's one of my issues with this kind of thing. Is that
already the issues. Okay.
My issues with reading novellas and short stories is that if this had been a novel, there would have been more about what the planet looked like.
Yeah, actually more exploration about
and it was just sort of like, oh, the planet
and surroundings.
Yeah, the planet has like humans can breathe it, but they shouldn't, and you know, there's airlocks because, you know, they want to keep the bad stuff out. But otherwise, yeah, there's some trees and some craters and some ponds, blah, blah, blah. And in, you know, this is the second time reading it, I'd completely forgotten that there was any trees there because they're never described.
Really? In my head, it's very, like, very jungle-like in places.
No, for me, it was Mars. Like, I'm just saying, from my memory, like, the planet is described so sparsely that for me, it didn't feel like anything. But of course, then they do actually say, as I was listening to it the second time, they do actually say, oh yeah, we've got to, like, if you don't have clear space around it, if there's too much many trees, you have to have your base raised up on pillars.
Yeah.
So you can see out over the trees. And I was like, oh yeah, there is something on this planet. But again, because it's a novella, everything has to be done. Like, it could have been a more interesting planet if it was a novel and you would have actually had time to make it an interesting planet. But because they don't, it's sort of like, no, gotta move on.
Yeah.
You know, and the base could have been more interesting, but in a novella compared to a novel, you just don't have time to develop the world building as much. So it's like, it's about the characters and it's about the story and the adventure, but that's it. There's no world building outside of the story.
And this is probably why I currently enjoy it so much, because Red Mars is kind of like the opposite, because it's like a personal world building around the humans and the places and all the details. And I would maybe compare it to a book of Heinrich Mann. You don't know that, but it's like,
but super sparse, just getting straight to the point.
No. Heinrich Mann is like, you get to hear about a couch in every single detail.
Oh, yes.
And so
you said that's
like
what Red Mars is like.
Yeah, and so it's quite detailed. And in comparison to that one, I mean, I'm not saying that Red Mars is like the top of like detail explained. There are other books, but in comparison to Red Mars, this was exactly kind of like, okay, here's the thing. There it is. This is what happens.
Let's go. And no, so I totally understand that.
I think for me, the explanations of how the world was enough.
Yeah, it was enough.
It was enough to get like a picture, and that's all I needed.
But again, this is my issue, is that it's all like, like there was just a revelation of something. Like there wasn't, when at the end of this book, when the twist is revealed, or when, like, you know, there's an adventure and as it's resolved, it's resolved in a way which there hadn't been enough world building set up to know that that was an interesting thing. You know, there's a reveal like, oh, this character is actually someone who's really important on this other planet, and you're like, oh, are they? But there's, but because we haven't literally, we've heard of two planets so far, the planet that we're on and the planet that it's come from. It's like, oh, that's actually an important person on that other planet. And there's no expectations built up.
Yeah.
And at the end when they're like, oh, actually, because this is some archaeological things over here and that's why this area is important and stuff. Mm. There's nothing at that point which goes, oh, so it's not very common that you find any alien artifact. You know, that all of those different kind of things. There was never anything there which made me think, oh, so the people wouldn't have known that because in this world, actually, this is an unusual thing. But because it's such a small story and we haven't had all what's usual kind of set out, that when something unusual happens, for me, it doesn't feel that unusual. It's just sort of like, oh, is that the way the world works? And it's sort of like, and the character's like, oh, no, that's not how the world works. But I don't feel that, you know.
To me, I totally understand this, and I think it would be a lot, like, there would be so much more stuff to be told about this.
Yeah.
It did feel like in some places there were, like, pacing issues when it suddenly got, like, really, like,
Like, I stopped listening to the book at one point, and, like, well, not listen, like, I think it was actually when we were, like, we went shoe shopping today, and you were trying on some shoes and walking around, and I was like, oh, I want to finish this book up today, let's see if I can get it. And at one point, I was distracted for 30 seconds, and like eight things had happened in that 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna go back and like, wow, that action scene resolved itself already in that 30 seconds. Let me go back. Yeah. So sometimes the pacing is almost too quick.
Exactly. So, but otherwise, I really like, set that aside.
Yes.
I really enjoyed reading from the point of view of that
security bot.
Droid? I don't know.
Security unit.
And I know this is, might sound strange, and of course it comes maybe from that the author is female and I am female. To me, that bot was a woman.
A woman.
Even though it says, I think it says quite clearly, okay, they don't have genders.
Yeah, and she says, we have no sex organs, we have no genders. So when she was watching TV and there was a love scene, wasn't there?
Yeah, she's just,
because she's just like, no, I skip through the sex scenes because they're not that interesting. It might be because I have no gender and I don't have any sex organs or anything like that. So skips on with that. I understand you mentioned to me before that you looked at somebody else's review and they say, the bot did this and he did that. The audiobook is narrated by... It's a male audiobook narrator.
Yeah.
Let me look it up. So I totally understand why somebody would listen to the... I'm not saying that this reviewer did listen to the audiobook.
Yeah.
But I'm saying as an audiobook listener... But I had that in mind, actually, because you mentioned that to me before I started listening to it.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a conception of the gender of the... Or you know, I think I actually had, like, a gender-neutral feeling about this.
Really?
Because it's first person.
Yeah.
And it never thinks of itself as a he or a she.
No, it doesn't.
Or
it always talks like...
It's like, I am this, I am that. So it's totally under... It actually did remind me a bit of the Ancillary Justice novel, because that's first person from the point of view of someone who doesn't see gender and everyone is referred to as she, but the character herself, you know, she thinks of herself, but it's, you know, it's just because they're defaulting to that. So you're never actually sure if it is a he body or a she, or like whatever unit ancillary. Yeah, whatever ancillary she is.
Of course.
It a male ancillary or a female ancillary? Again, it felt like that. Like there's like an ambiguity there, which I find myself completely okay with that in fiction, especially these days, because there's so many books where that's
Of course, and I don't even, like, of course, it's like, it's so put into me, I think in binary or to read something into it that... I mean, I'm not feeling uncomfortable with it. I mean, I'm quite aware of it, and I think that's.
And record.
So it's just difficult for me to put my head into something.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes, because you're a she, and you think of the world as he and she.
And it just felt the way that the bot was talking, and the way it kind of like, it had this like. How do you say, like, the not like
the personality,
like, yes,
the vibe.
It was her human, like, it's humans, you know, it was like, it was.
Oh, so you're saying because they're that kind of nurturing mother like,
yes, it felt very much
it's
like
kind
that.
Of like Ripley in Aliens or something like that, you know, a kick ass murdering.
Yeah. And it starts with it like taking them under their arms and like running with them.
Yes, there is kind of that like mother imagery and also like the comforting, so she had to talk someone through it. No, I totally understand that you can see that in the character.
Yeah.
And there is that thing in there. But again, this time I listened through to it and tried to think about what I thought the first time I listened to it. But because it was just a short story, a novella, and I didn't think about it enough to review the book, I don't even remember what I thought about it. And I think that shows that I'm totally fine with gender neutral characters in books now.
Yeah.
And I do think it is reading more of these gender neutral books, which again, the Diaspora book by Greg Egan, which is like from the 90s or whatever. But again, that had those characters with the gender neutral pronouns and all of these gender neutral pronoun stuff that we've been talking about recently.
Yeah.
This is kind of done Autonomous by Annalie Nevitz didn't do, where as soon as the guy found out the gender of the brain that's running inside of it, it's sort of like, oh, it was a female soldier that's been put in this war bot. Now I can be okay falling in love with this robot. And you're suddenly like, wait, that kind of goes against what the book was about, wasn't it? But no, it turns out that is what that book is about.
Yes, of course. And so you're saying you can kind of train yourself to...
I'm not saying I train myself. I'm just saying... Well, yeah, maybe the books that I'm reading have trained me to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
With all of these books, like To Light the Lightning, The Seven Surrenders, those books, this kind of book, the Yoon-Ha Lee, where like three books into the series you read of something and they're like, oh, that main character who's always been referring to himself as he is actually female, and there's like a scene where they just go, oh yeah, I always strap down my boobs so people don't know because they don't like your commander. And I'm just sort of like, whoa, wait a second, which character is this again? And all this stuff, you know, it's that kind of thing where you,
yeah.
And all of that, you know, with a male brain or male personality being infused with a female personality inside a female body, but everyone addressing it as the male thing, so the outside, all of those different kind of things, I think it's just trained me so that now that I listen to this book, and I don't even remember thinking what the gender of the main character of the book is. But of course, it's a murder bot, so it doesn't have that kind
also,
of thing.
Also, that's interesting because it is a security unit, but it still refers to itself as the murder bot.
Yeah.
It gives that name to itself.
It nicknames itself.
Nobody gave the name.
It gives itself a name which is also gender neutral like that. So.
Yeah. But also, I don't know, it like to be a bot and then calling yourself kind of like murderer.
It comes from backstory of this thing. This was a bot that had a glitch and killed like 47 people or whatever it was.
Yep.
And then when it was being upgraded after that and its mind was being wiped, it worked out how to bypass the thing. So it's calling itself something from its own birth, which is, you know, the murder of 47 innocent people when it went haywire once. Oh, the whole idea of this is that it even says that on the Goodreads blurb. It says, what does it say? In a society where contracts are awarded to the lowest bidder, safety isn't a primary concern. And that's where the murder bot comes in. It turns out for insurance reasons, yes, it is a concern, but actually, it's not really a concern, really.
Not really,
if the insurance, if the insurance calculations worked out, it doesn't matter if everyone dies. If the money that they're going to make, the money that they have to pay out over time, you know, it's that thing in Fight Club where he says, oh yeah, so if this car skids off the road and explodes, how much money do we have to pay as a payout for that happening compared to how much money we'll lose if we recall all of these cars and fix the brakes on all of them? I mean, like, oh, that's like a really weird, but it turns out corporations are psychopaths.
They're just psychopaths. Work that way,
So that's where we are. So, other things that
also that reminded me of I'm always mixing up. What's the author? Yoon-Ha Lee.
Yoon-Ha Lee.
Yoon-Ha Lee.
Yes.
And that reminds me a little bit of the story of that character as well. Kind of, you wake up and you know you've done something like horrific.
Yeah, and now and then, here we go.
Yeah, and then here we go, and you live with it, and then you do something different.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so. There's some commonalities there. Yeah. All right, I made two notes about this book.
Okay, go for it.
First note: we just kill the shit out of them. This is some of the language issues that I have with this, is that I understand that it's trying to do quirky turns of phrase, and I also understand that some of the delivery of the quirky turns of phrase when listening to it as an audiobook, it's difficult to say that compared to read that, because if you read it, you can see it, and it kind of, the joke comes off the page as it's crystallizing in your mind, whereas when someone reads it to you, maybe you don't get the same experience. But turns of phrase like, kill the shit out of them. I'm just like, this is swearing by someone who wants to do fun, clever swearing by somebody who's never sworn, like who's never done a swear before.
Yeah, but it's watching all the television stuff, so it probably got all that from there.
No,
and so this
no,
is why it
the
doesn't feel
author,
normal.
Not the robot, the author who's written the words. We just get close enough to each other and then try to kill the shit out of each other. Kill the shit out of each other. Kill the shit out of them is really clunky and not funny. And like, it's one of those times where people go, ah, I want to say what the fuck, but I don't want to say the word fuck because, you know, I want 15-year-old, 13-year-old boys or girls to read this, you know, school children or whatever it is to read this and get into this book. And if it's got the F word in it, you know, libraries won't give it to kids. Mm. But I want it to be given to kids, so one or two shits would be okay and not too much violence or whatever. And fast forward through the sex scenes. Literally just fast forward through the sex scenes so your kids don't have to watch it. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't just put shit and crap in when you want to say fuck and it works out. You have to be more creative with it, and you can't can't just, like, if you're going to say, I'm going to,
they're not interchangeable.
Like, beat the shit out. Yes, you can beat the shit out of someone, but you can't kill the shit out of someone.
That is, it feels like it's not.
You can fuck someone up, but you can't, like if you shit someone up, that's a very different image in your head than fucking someone up. Like, if you get into a fight with someone and fuck someone up, that's very specific what you've done to them. Yes. If you get into a fight with them and shit somebody up, you're like, wait, what you did you do to them? Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly, that's what you do. Like, words, which swear words, which can work really well, like, you know, beat the fuck out of someone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
or no, actually, you can, like, kick the crap out of someone as well. But you can't kill the shit out of someone.
It actually feels like
you can kick the shit out of
me wanting to say a swear word and then mixing two things up in my head. This is exactly what I often do.
Yes.
And then I come up with something like that and then it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But I understand what you're saying, but you're not a professionally published author who should have copy editors looking over this kind of stuff. Again, that was just one example that I wrote down, but there's quite a few of these turns of phrases, especially over swearing.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened is that they've just gone, look, if we put too many fucks in here.
Yeah, I think it sounds very much like
the fans of Peter Watts novels might be annoyed about the swearing, but then the people who, like, the kids that might actually want to read this, you know, Murderbot Diaries. Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Can I say one thing that I did?
I will get onto my second note. No, you do your thing, say your thing, and I'll move on to my second note.
So, in my head, for some reason, like, I totally forgot that this had actually a title, that it was called All Systems Red. In my head, it was called The Murderbot Diary. Or Murderbot Diaries.
Yeah.
And that just stuck in my head so much that I thought, the publisher should have told her to get a better title. That's not a nice, that's just doesn't, like.
And it turns out they had. It's called
All Systems Red. Exactly. But the problem is that Murderbot Diaries stuck in my head.
This was like nominated for awards, wasn't it? What did it get? Yeah, Nebula Award for Best Novella this year. So, you know, we're going Nebula Award.
Philip K. Dick Award.
Goodreads Choice Award nominee. Yeah, Philip K. Dick Award nominee, yeah, so.
No, it says here, Goodreads Choice Award for Science Fiction.
Nominee.
Where does it say nominee?
On mine, it says nominee.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
whatever. I have the bigger iPad.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website, you're looking at the.
I'm looking,
Goodreads Choice Award winners. Artemis by Andy Weir.
Goodreads Choice Award for Science Fiction.
All Systems, no, it didn't, it was a nominee, it didn't win that award, I just looked it up.
So in the app, certainly it says that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, don't always trust the app. Anyway,
was that what you wanted to say? Can I move on to my next note?
Yes.
This is my next note. Science fiction for introvert nerds. This is an interesting thing that it's a character who is a reflection of an introverted science fiction nerd.
Yes.
Which, again, no judgment about this, but it is interesting to see a character, like a super introverted character written into a story, but never expressing themselves in saying, oh, actually, I'm an introvert, I don't like being around people. It's much more of like a baked into the character, like the character is so introverted, they don't even understand that they're introverted. They just think that they don't want to have conversations with humans because, oh no, that's going to be awkward and my programming doesn't like that. Like, I need to not give away my programming. But it's again, I can't believe this is something which isn't specifically written into the story.
That I think
this
is
an this what you think it is specifically written. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It must be intentional.
Yeah.
But it's great that it's so intentional, but like so blatantly obvious to everybody except the main character in the book.
Yes, although I think towards the end it kind of is realizing that it says somewhere. Or, like, in the middle, the humans say, oh, it's shy.
It's shy.
And it hears that. So, I mean, we only know.
I'm just saying there's no self-acknowledgement about the introvertedness of it.
Well, it doesn't have, like, what it says at the beginning as well. It doesn't have, like, because the company, of course, is saving money, so it doesn't have a big educational unit built in.
No.
So it kind of misses some bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why it also feels quite young and inexperienced in many ways.
Yeah.
Like you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's got a young nerd personality, science
and
fiction fan,
introvert. It feels very much like lots of people, especially if you think young adults.
Yeah.
They read this And they could totally identify themselves.
Yep.
They think, oh yeah, I would love to have a helmet on that I can make
the visor opaque. But it's just those lines where like, oh, and I was so nervous I had to get up and stand in the corner facing into the corner so nobody could see me. And I was like, oh.
Yes, I read that too and I thought, well, that's a little bit awkward.
Awkward, but also super on the nose if you want your book to be popular. Like, people read this and they're like, it's called Murder Bot, but I really identify with it. Why? Because it murders people. No, because it likes watching science fiction programs on TV. And it hacks its own
governor module, how it's called.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd make a note of that because I really do like that. Now, that's a bit about the introverted thing, that it's not often you get someone who is so introverted, but it's... I don't want to say it's sort of like background to the character because it is very obvious in the front of the character.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of that obvious because it's a novella and you just don't have time to develop full characters, full personalities. Yeah. You kind of just got to like get straight to the point with a lot of that stuff. If you don't want to spend all the time on character development, I think there is actually good characters in this. Like the murder body is actually fun.
I also think some of the human characters are also quite like... clear in my head.
You don't spend enough time with them.
Yeah, and that's my next point is that the end just came like, okay, there it is.
Yeah, it does. It comes too close. And then you get and also another thing that disappointed me about the end, and which almost makes me not want to read it anymore, is that, like, it annoys me in these Pinocchio stories that Pinocchio becomes a real boy in the end.
Yeah.
And can pass for human. And I'm like, wouldn't it be really cool if Pinocchio at the end becomes a real boy at the end, but also, I don't know, is still made out of wood. Not still made out of wood, but, you know, sort of like looks like they're made out of wood. On the Tested YouTube channel with Adam Savage.
Yeah.
You know that they once did the Lego mask, the Lego head mask, but it was like what a Lego man would look like if it was but if they were yellow and had the shape of a Lego, but and in proportion to a human's body, so it's a massive head. But actually, but make it look like it's made out of yellow flesh and real eyes. Yeah, and it's really fucked up and really freaky. But you would understand, like, oh, if I was a Lego man and I turned into a human, what would I look like? And but you still, like, you're a real man, but your head is this massive conical is that what I'm trying to say? Like a big conical thing with a big lump on top, and the eyes are like in there, but there's wrinkles around the eyes and the mouth. Anyway, you should look at. I'm just saying that they have it in the background in quite a lot of the videos because it sits on one of the shelves.
It's in one of the shelves, right?
It's like on the background of the workshop. You will see it. But if you actually look at the video of Frank, I think is one of the guys, the mask making guy who does all the latex molding on the Tested channel. Yeah, Frank is. It makes it, and as he's sculpting it, you're like, this is freaky, and it's more freaky because it is a thing which is inanimate, but made to be animate, but not just like, now you're a real boy and you can pass for human. It's sort of like, now you're a real boy, but you still kind of look like a puppet, and your arms don't work properly, or whatever, you know. So at the end of this book, I was kind of disappointed, or the end of this story, sorry, I was kind of disappointed that at the end, they're like, oh, and if I just take off my armor and I put on some clothes and cover up the bottom part of my body, I just look like a human with an augmented thing in the back of the head. And I was like, oh, that's a real pity. Like, the other stuff that happens at the end I really like, but I'm kind of annoyed that at the end, the murder bot underneath can be so human-like that they pass for human. Yes. I really like the stories where a robot becomes a real boy. Even like the movie Johnny Five. You know, did you see Johnny Five Alive? What's it called? No, Short Circuit. It's called.
I don't know the English. Yeah, I've never seen this in English.
In German, it's called Johnny Number Five or whatever. It's something like that. Anyway, Short Circuit. You've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, okay. But at the end of it, he's like, oh, and I'm a real boy now, or whatever, and he really burns up. And then the second movie, he comes out, and he just, like, they needed to fly him across the country, so they just put him in a packing case and ship him across the country, and he comes out, and all the packaging's falling off him and stuff like that. I was like, yes, if you were an intelligent robot living in the real world, you'd have to travel in the In the travel, in the compartment.
Of course.
Like, you can't just go, oh, I'll just pass for human. It's like, no, that doesn't work. Yeah. That doesn't work. No. So,
yeah, it's true.
I was just a little bit disappointed that, like, Murderbot Diaries number two is just someone, who looks human, who can pass as human, who has human interests and all that kind of stuff, but still calls himself Murderbot. And I was like, I was really hoping that the Murderbot Diaries would be like, oh, shit, like, everyone who comes across them is like, oh, fuck, it's a Murderbot. Yeah. And that's their first response.
I also think that it was a little bit
Oh, shit, it's a Murderbot.
I think it was a little bit too much set up as to be continued.
And now the continuum. No, but the thing is, I went into it knowing that because it's a short story. Murderbot Diaries number one. So
it felt more like it should have more ended like with like them just going back and then that's the end.
Yeah.
And not
If it had ended before the last chapter, I'd have been like, oh right. Well, that would have been even more abrupt. I don't want to give too much away of the story. Like we haven't even talked about this stuff.
The ending in total is a prop, but what I'm saying is if the ending wouldn't have been the ending point where it ended, but a little bit further before, because then you could have had like more thinking, okay, what is it going to do and stuff, and this way it was a little bit too...
Sorry, I was just going to say one other thing from before. When I was talking about the introvert science fiction nerd, also the being a science fiction fan and watching serials or watching series of stuff like that, it's exactly the same as the Nine Fox Gambit universe where Jadal, not Jadal, Karis in the first one sits down to watch her TV shows and all of the servitors, all of the robots come and sit with her to watch television with her. And that becomes in the third book, which I'll be like reviewing tomorrow or whatever, that becomes like a main plot point of like the servitors watching television and being interested in television, and it's exactly the same. It's so interesting that it's exactly the same plot point, exactly the same character development idea that, hey guys, you science fiction nerds reading this book, the main character in this book is just like you. They also enjoy watching science fiction, and you just come up with a few different names of these different things. Oh, it's not as cool as in real life, and you can always do that, like, oh, in the science fiction stories, this happens, but in real life, oh, I've actually got to do this, and, you know, people are more complex in real life than they are in the shows, or it's a lot less dramatic or more dramatic than in the shows.
Yeah.
All of those writing tropes are right there. And I just want to say, it's so much more fun to read it in this way than it is in the We Are Legion, We Are Bob story, where someone's they're just a Star Trek fan and a Star Wars fan, and all of the, instead of being, oh yeah, there's this series and stuff and making up, he just drafts off the back of nerds now, 2017,
watching
18
Star
nerds,
Trek.
Watching Star Trek and doing it. Yeah. Unfortunately for that is that it's set in the future, hundreds of years in the future, and nothing after 2016 exists. So it's a really...
He didn't even come up with...
No, he didn't even have the... Like, he didn't even say, oh, yeah, and then the new series of Discovery came out, and, like, half the people watched it, but it got lots of new fans, and then, like, another Netflix show came out, and it was so bad that they killed off all of Star Trek, because it turns out, like, everyone involved was, like, racist and a paedophile all the way along. Like, he didn't even have the nerve to just, like, shoot
come
down all
something.
Of it. Like, it turns out when you wake up in 100 years' time, nerds, and look back at Star Trek, it's going to be like the most regressive, racist, sexist thing, and nobody would ever be able to watch it because everything about it's going to be deplorable. Of course, no, I don't think Star Trek will, because you know, a lot of its stuff holds up pretty well. If sometimes it's dealing with racism, it's a little bit like oh, that's from the 60s.
I think the old ones, like when you watch like the older versions of it.
But I'm just saying that, like,
cringy.
But it is interesting that someone goes 200 years into the future and then goes, oh, I'm still a Star Trek fan, and then has zero curiosity about any Star Trek that ever happened after he went into a cult.
You should just not do that. Always come up with something new.
That's
the whole point about being an author, isn't it?
What's like the TV show that she always watches? I watched 380 episodes of this Sailor Moon, whatever.
Sailor Moon,
I don't know, but it was some star.
Good Moon?
Dark
Will,
Moon?
Will, or whatever. But it is, like, isn't that the whole point about being an author, is that you invent stuff?
Yes.
You invent a future.
But again,
invent
it's just
a
such
different...
a shortcut just to go, oh, you've been watching 370 episodes in a row of this thing. And so I'm like, yeah, that's of course, yeah. Like, why wouldn't I just keep doing that?
But this book is very comforting and comfortable
in the
for this kind of person to read.
Yes, okay.
It's perfect.
In The Revenant, again, one of the servitors, because the servitors are one of the point of views, they don't just watch the TV shows, they do their own fan edits. They're like, so what I'm doing, they're shipping people. I think shipping is the term when you're like, I didn't want those two characters to get together. I really wanted, you know, I think it comes from like Harry Potter fan fiction where people like, oh, Hermione and what's his name?
Harry?
Greg? No.
No. Who?
The other, who does Hermione, I have not read the books, I've not seen the end of the, who does Hermione get together with? Ron.
Weasley, yeah.
Ron Weasley, yeah. Oh, I didn't want them to get together, so they write the fanfiction that actually that doesn't happen and she gets together with some other character or, yeah. You know, Ron Weasley actually gets together with it, you know. So, yeah, it's funny that the science fiction serial fan in, who was this robot in other things, aren't just watching, aren't just fans, but they're actually doing their own fan edits and fan
That's
fiction
cute.
About
I'm
the fiction.
I'm looking forward to reading this one. I'm in the queue for it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you'll get it too. I'll probably review it tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you want to join in on the review tomorrow...
I don't have anything to say.
No, but I can still talk about it because you've read the first two books. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, my notes literally kill the shit out of them in science fiction... science fiction for introvert science fiction nerds.
Look, on Goodreads, it got 12,748 ratings.
12,781 ratings.
Oh.
Again, I think your app is just out of date, maybe. I'm not sure. Yes, 4.15 there. And
yeah.
And by Science Fiction Book Review listeners, 3.97. So yeah, pretty like
it's
decent
good.
Around four stars.
Yeah. Like the people I am friends with, they all were like rated 4 stars. You rated 3 stars.
Yeah, but that was going... I just don't find novellas
Jenny
as satisfying.
SF fangirl, also 4.
Jay rated it. Snarky robots are like catnip to me. Turns out Martha Wells is pretty funny. Oh, excuse me, I'm burping.
That's funny, you... Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm just looking. You are appearing twice here.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Lindsay rated it 5 stars.
Yeah. This is at least as good as most of the reviews are saying. And it's an excellent example. I think this is the thing. When the last episode that we did together, which was the Peter Wells, you know, what's
Peter
it called?
What?
Peter Wells?
Who?
I'm getting mixed up.
What?
Peter Watts's...
Peter Watts.
The Freeze Frame Revolution.
Yes.
One of the reasons why I marked that down from 5 stars, even though I really enjoyed it, was because it was a novella.
Yes, but it had extra...
It had extra stuff.
Short stories.
And it's one of those things that it's really difficult for me to read a book like this and to get as much out of it as I want to. I mean, me and you chatting about it now, but even me reading it the second time, I enjoyed it more the second time because I knew... I knew that it was going to end really quickly at the end and be everything
yes.
wrapped up a bit too neatly and a bit too well resolved. And like I said here, themes have to be stated almost outright instead of being slowly revealed. Oh well, that's from my previous review of this from February this year.
Yeah. I understand all of those things,
and why I like novels is that the themes and ideas are slowly revealed to me, and I kind of work them out along with the characters.
Yes,
and here they're just told to me.
Yes, but sometimes you want a book that it does exactly that.
It does exactly that.
And
you want a break from. You want
I
a break from
exactly
Red Mars.
That. So for me, it gets 4 stars.
All right. Well, for me, it gets 3.5 stars. So let's round it to, or let's average it out to 3.75 stars. Let me write that down because I will forget that number, 3.75.
Yes.
Okay,
so,
Murderbot Diaries number 1. Maybe we'll come back when Murderbot Diaries,
the novel
comes out in 2020. And we can,
yeah, but I also will read the others, although it's not available
in
my
library. And I'm not going to spend another Audible credit on it.
No, I will see how I get it. Maybe it appears at some point. Sometimes books just appear in the library.
What was the book that you wanted to get from NetGalley? That was a new book that came out.
Becky Chambers' book. Third book in the series of the long
distance
trip
to a boring planet.
To a small angry planet.
The long pointless journey to a small boring planet.
No. Anyway, it's the third in the series, and I really enjoyed the.
If you just buy it, I'll read it as well. Or if you get it from NetGalley or something.
Yeah,
I think it comes out like July. Though.
Yeah,
I think
it's coming out
August
the end of July, and NetGalley hasn't answered yet, so I might
we'll
just
see.
Get it anyway.
Yeah, maybe just buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it. It's become our friends on Goodreads so we can see what you think of books. Jeff rated it 4 stars. Old Systems Red was on sale on Audible. Oh, maybe that's when I got it. Maybe it was on sale or something like
okay.
that. I don't remember.
Sure. Anyway,
it was in my Audible library.
Yes.
Ziven rated it 3 stars. I don't usually like to spend an Audible credit on a novella. Audible 50% off sales are a good time to invest in shorter fiction. So I think
probably
actually,
what you did.
Yeah. So I think quite a few of us were just picking it up because it was because it was one of the Goodreads, Audible, whatever. You know, it's all Amazon stuff, so they probably had some different stuff.
Yes.
Sort of like The Martian meets Terminator. This was a quick, simple read, though perhaps too simple. Then again, I didn't really like The Martian either, so perhaps that explains my home assessment. That's from Ben. Tim rated it 4 stars, 3.5 stars, actually. Very fun to read a story from the point of view of an AI. Now, the thing is, I don't really think of it as an AI.
But it is.
But it's got a human brain and stuff.
Does it have a human brain?
That's the whole point.
The head is like,
and it uses that for intuition and signal processing and stuff.
But it's more than augmented. That is made quite clear. There's a human who's an augmented human, and so this is way more of like a robot human.
Yes, it is very much cyborgy stuff. That's Terminator stuff.
Yeah.
She's written young adult fantasy novels, short stories.
That's generally what she's writing. And fiction. Like fantasy.
Star Wars, Empire and Rebellion.
When you were saying who this reminds you of, I was actually thinking RoboCop. Just like a more...
It's that same thing from... Kind of. Yeah, from Autonomous. It's sort of like, we get someone who's been smashed up and we wipe their memories, but we need their, like, moral their compass or something like that. You know, we need their... Not moral, but, you know, their way of looking at
humanity.
People. A little bit of humanity, but not too much humanity. But a little bit... Not the free will part of humanity, but the let's not kill other people's humanity. But actually, it doesn't matter because we're in a corporation and corporations are psychopaths, so...
Yes. This kind of stuff.
Yep.
Okay, that was fun.
I think that's the end of the review. Oh yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'm Luke Burridge on Twitter. Follow Juliana on Twitter. She is JUKU Berlin. Yuku Berlin, standing for Juliana Kunzendorf Berlin.
Yay. Totally creative. I know.
JUK. Well, Juliana Kunzendorf was too long, wasn't it? Was it a two? It was a little bit too long. I'm Luke Burridge. And Instagram, we're both there as well. You can find us there. YouTube, you can see our videos and vlogging. I went indoor skydiving.
Oh, yes.
So if you want to check out our video.
Luke flying.
And I also bought then Juliana the same gift card as I got. So she's going to sign up and do some indoor skydiving.
Do that at some point.
Probably the other end of the summer. But we'll check that out. Tell you something, if you ever want a science fictional kind of superhero weird... No, put it this way. Indoor skydiving, if you'd have talked about that 20 years ago, would have felt like science fiction. Like, we're going to build an entire building with a fans going around the outside, a vertical
wind tunnel. Yeah.
Which, I mean, have been used before for testing parachutes and things like that.
But, like, NASA. In professional, like...
But just for fun. Like, just jump in there and fly around like a superhero. Totally science fictional. So if you want a science fictional experience in real life, they don't come along that often, that are so new and so so different from anything you've done before. Of course, now we all have iPhones and shit like that, and everything is science, more science fictional than anyone could ever have imagined 10 years ago. No, 10 years, it's the 10 years anniversary of the App Store. Last year was their 10 year anniversary of the iPhone, this year of the App Store. And you're just like, well, how much has the world changed because of apps? Like, we run our lives on apps and on these services. But again, something which is such an experiential break from something you've never done before to something you're just doing now, indoor skydiving is one of those things.
You recommend it.
Well, put it this way. When you first heard about laser tag, you're like, laser tag? We can run around and shoot each other with lasers? And then you do it for the first time, you're like, well, that's shit. Like, you realize why all these laser tag places opened up and then closed down. Like,
I never heard about this.
Laser tag.
It's like paintball.
It's like indoor paintball with lasers instead of paintballs. It turns out it's shit. It's just the worst thing ever.
This is what Rick Castle does with his daughter, right?
What? I don't know.
No, they have these things and then they, in the
dark... Yeah, maybe. But just imagine an entire half of an arcade set aside for running around with lasers and you've got backpacks on which pick up the lasers and you're like, this is the most science fictional shit ever. Well, and then after about 3 minutes, you're like... Like, someone's shooting me, I guess, because my rumble somewhere, but you don't see the lasers because they're like these bursts and stuff like that, and you're tracking down, and at the end you get the sheet of how many people you shot and how many people shot you, and you're like, Yeah, no wonder that was really shit, because there's just nothing, there's no experience
feedback.
There.
Yeah.
With paintballs, when someone shoots you, you're like, ow, fuck! Like, you know, and paintballing is really fun, and you understand.
Have you done that?
Yeah. A few times, yeah.
I'm not so into shooting people.
No, but I'm just saying, paintball, being shot with paintballs is an experiential thing.
Yeah, there's an immediate feedback.
Yeah, it's an immediate feedback. You're just like, I'm doing something new, and I've just been hit in the face, and now I can't see anything because there's paint all over the visor on my head, and then someone hits you in the back of the neck, and you're like, ow,
ouch,
that really hurt. You know, so I'm just saying, indoor skydiving is one of those things that you do it, and you're like, oh shit, this is literally like nothing I've ever done before, and
it
feels...
Flying. You're flying!
I'm flying. Yeah. Anyway... If you want to see me have that experience in real time, check out my YouTube channel, Luke Burridge, on YouTube. Juliana is a very good camera operator. iPhone operator. iPhone camera operator.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Murderbot Diaries. Next up, Yoon-Ha Lee, which I've already finished, which I'll get to reviewing. Maybe I'll just wait for you to finish it. When do you think you'll get it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, no, I'll just
do the
review.
It might take a while.
I'll just do the review. Anyway, that's it for me. I've just talked about this book for 49 minutes, and that's probably as long as...
Oh, you feel that was like with some other bits
with other bits and pieces. Yeah. But when I was like, I don't really have very much to say about a novella, it turns out, oh no.
Yeah, you can get stuff like from it.
Yeah, you can get stuff from it. Yeah. Right, that's it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.